To the dear saints of First English Lutheran Church, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And first, to start off, I'd like to extend my greetings to you from your sister congregation, Christ the King. We are very glad to be able to assist Reverend Caldall and all of you this morning. Congratulations also to Alex and Lindy on the healthy arrival of Jacob Charles, and we pray for God's continued blessings for them, to Pastor and Kristen, as Pastor Caldall today baptizes his grandchild. And I want you to know also that this April, as Alex receives his call, we at Christ the King will be watching eagerly with you to see where he goes. But for today, what a unique day this is for both congregations. What a unique opportunity to preach to you all today. I'm honored to be here with you to proclaim the Word of God and enjoy fellowship with you. In the lectionary, we are on the third to last Sunday in the church. And traditionally, the church focuses here on the second advent, the second coming of Christ. The text is rather dark, but that's what is in the lectionary. But let us not be afraid of the darkness in the text, because against this deep darkness we will see at the end the most marvelous light. Now for the sermon. We are, as a people, comfortable. We have at our disposal money and luxuries that even the greatest of ancient kings would envy if they could imagine what we have. Consider what's in your life. We have the necessities of all that we need, water, food, medical care, available whenever we want it. We live in climate-controlled smart homes. We have on-demand TVs. We have the entirety of human knowledge that can be accessed quickly with a device in your pocket. If you get bored at home, you can travel to almost anywhere in the world in a matter of hours, at most a day or two. And all this is in a country which has not seen war in its own inner lands in the Midwest for well over a century. And even though the economy is difficult, we're still comfortable. We're comfortable even in church. People in churches, do you know they used to stand for the entire divine service, through hot or cold, and they brought their own hymnals. And now you're in here, the heat is running, the pews are padded, the sound system is clear, the windows are beautiful. You even have screens guiding you throughout the service. We are comfortable and we feel secure. And because of that, we're also starting to fall asleep. Some of us may be fully asleep. And I'm not talking about the sleep of death, but a sleep of overwhelming contentment, with a subtle yet all-consuming feeling or belief that since life is good, we've made it. Nothing can defeat us. And as we sleep, as we're comfortable, our Lord today comes and slaps us in the face with this gospel. He says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. You see, he's speaking to the Jews, at least initially, because they waited for the Christ. And as they waited, they got comfortable. They fell asleep. They were content with themselves and their works. They were satisfied with how their works and traditions, even the grudges they held against certain people, defined them. They felt they earned everything. They no longer listened to the Word of God. They had it, but they didn't really listen to it. They were in a gluttonous sleep. And in that sleep, they missed the first coming of the Christ, which the Word prophesied if they had listened to it. They missed it. They didn't recognize Him. They hated Him. They opposed Him. And with the Romans, they murdered Him. And as they slept, the abomination of desolation entered Jerusalem. And they didn't really wake up until the Romans surrounded Jerusalem decades later, took siege of Jerusalem. So that when they looked out from the walls of Jerusalem, all they saw was the Roman symbol of the eagle gathered all around them. Wherever the carcass is, there the eagles gathered. Jerusalem slept. They were killed and utterly destroyed. And here we are today on the brink of sleep. Perhaps many of us are asleep. And so the Lord's message to us today is simply this. Wake up! You are in the great tribulation of the end times. He speaks of the abomination of desolation, of false Christs and prophets. He speaks of the possibility of even the elect, if it is possible, falling away. He's talking about carcasses and eagles. Wake up, because in an instant, in a flash of lightning, our Lord will return with judgment and utter destruction. Just like it happened for the Jews, it will happen at His second coming as well. That's what our Lord is warning Jerusalem before its judgment ushers in these last days. That's what He warns us before judgment comes at the end of these days. Be awake. And notice what we prayed in the collect this morning. When Christ talks about utter destruction, we then look and we pray to God, Almighty God, we beseech you, we beg you, show mercy to your humble servants. As if we were praying, we're waking up, Lord. We hear you. Show us mercy before the destruction comes. And then our Lord goes on to talk about mercy, but in very strange words. He says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. As if our Lord says, you pray for mercy. Okay, here's your mercy. When you see the abomination of desolation in the holy place, when you see the abomination of desolation in the church, wake up and flee. Don't go back for your things. Hold your babies tight. Dress warm for the winter. Stop resting on the Sabbath. Take off running from where you are. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Wake up and flee. There's your mercy. And for the Jews who had woken up in Jesus' day and heard the word, they were able to flee to refuge in the mountains when the judgment of the Romans came. For those in Jerusalem who remained asleep, who dismissed the word, they suffered in some of the worst ways ever recorded in history, some of which I dare not even speak of from the pulpit. Terrible judgment fell upon them without escape who dismissed the word. And then we come to today. We American Christians, do we want to wake up? And if we are awake, what are we to flee from? Where are we to flee to? Because there is no more going west to escape persecution. There's not another America to discover. There's not another Mayflower to get on. There's nowhere else in the world to flee. So from what do we flee? And to where do we flee? Oh Lord. And our Lord answers. In the gospel, He continues. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Here our Lord answers what we ought to flee from, and it is these evils: false Christs, false prophets, false signs, false promises, false righteousness, lies which promise so great a security, so great a comfort. Christ entertains that sees that these lies are so great and so attractive that he even entertains if the elect can be deceived. You've heard the lies and the evil preached against in this pulpit: evolution and communism, hypersexuality and homosexuality, hedonism and abortion, relativism, the seeing of all religions as the same, feminism, transgenderism. Those are the evils and temptations which have crept into our culture. We've even seen it crawl and creep into some churches of our own country. And you might be thinking, but Pastor, we don't allow gay marriages. We don't allow women preachers. We don't allow pride flags in our church. We speak against evolution and abortion. We're confessional. We're conservative. We are awake. And very well. That is true for both of our congregations. But are we fully awake? Are we listening? Are we really fleeing? Or are we like a child that's up late at night claiming he's awake when his eyes are half shut? This last week, there were local elections. How many knew that? In schools across America, public schools across America, curriculum and books are being used to teach the very evils that we listed off a bit ago. Did you know that there were school board elections which determines if those things are taught in schools? Did we flee, use our power against those things? In Ohio, which is not terribly far away, the murder of infants was enshrined into their constitution. Were we awake and fleeing in Ohio? Or were we asleep and numb to it? But you may think still that those are issues that are more outside of our sphere here in Iowa. And again, fair enough. Let's bring it home then. Have we heard the scriptures in our homes this week? Have we fathers led our families in scripture and prayer daily? Have you mothers reminded and helped the fathers in doing this with your children? Or were we too busy with our work and school schedules, with sports and activities every single night, to even sit down to dinner together, let alone to pray together? Are we today at home listening to the service on the radio or on the podcast because we didn't want to leave the comfort of our home when we could have gathered with the saints around the presence of our Lord who comes to us as we gather? Do not be fooled. Private devotions at home are beneficial, and listening to the radio, that's all it is, private devotions. They do not offer what we receive in corporate worship of the body of Christ. We need the body of Christ. When pastor is faithful in preaching, teaching, and leadership, and doing what is best for the church, do we listen and follow? Or does pride get in the way so that you can close off your ears, shut up your heart, grumble, and then oppose him at every turn? When he teaches, are you there or are you out fishing? When he catechizes, do you eagerly bring your young, or would you rather them go do fun stuff instead? When we as Christians have opportunities to help each other, do we run to those opportunities or away from them? Perhaps they're small opportunities that only you see in private where you can help a brother in need. Or perhaps they're more public opportunities, volunteer opportunities to serve both congregations. And we have a school where there are a plethora of volunteer opportunities. But we know those opportunities remain unfulfilled. So if we are awake, Why do opportunities to serve each other remain open? When we as Christians have a falling out between each other, as individuals, as groups or cliques or as congregations, are we quick to want forgiveness and reconciliation, or do we hold on to grudges for days, years, decades, even generations? Yes, when the grace and forgiveness of God is preached here in our pulpits, we nod our heads in agreement. But when it comes to the brothers that make us angry, sometimes we'd rather hold on to the grudge and have the division. You see, all these examples, why I bring them up, is they're all asking the same question. Are you comfortable, secure, and asleep, or are you awake and fleeing? If you are fleeing, you sense not only the evils out there, but the evils in here, the sins in here. And so our Lord says, wake up and flee. Flee from the evil that is to be judged when he returns. And so we pray in our collect that our Lord may have mercy on us from the judgment to come. We pray awake and wanting to flee. Wanting to flee, we pray the words, we put no trust in our merits, O Lord. We put no trust in our works. Our Lord tells us to be awake, to flee. We know that. And we know now what to flee from, but where do we flee to? And that's where our Lord answers in comfort. He says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, flee. See, I have told you beforehand of all the terrible things to come. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Did you hear the answer in there of where we flee to? Because it's in there. It's in there, but they're in rather brutal words. He says, the abomination of desolation in the holy place, in the church. Then he says at the end, wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will gather. So often we hear this and think of the Antichrist and so on. And in a certain way, that might be what the prophecy points to. But even more, what our Lord is prophesying here. He's saying that the abomination of desolation in the holy place is himself crucified. Standing right here in the center of the holy place, the church. The abomination of desolation ultimately is the Son of God incarnate on the cross, becoming sin, becoming abomination for us, receiving the terrible judgment and punishment that we deserved. All those terrible things he talks about on the last day, he took on the cross for us. In a certain way, the carcass is the body of our Lord hanging dead on the cross, where he who was perfect and holy died in our place, where he took on the sleep of death while being surrounded by Roman soldiers, again, with those symbols of eagles everywhere. He died the sleep of death so that we may be alive and awake in his righteousness. But even more so, the carcass is the flesh and blood of our Lord, sacrificed on the cross once for all and offered at this altar. This altar where we, saints in heaven and on earth, like eagles, gather around and partake of one holy communion. This carcass, this flesh which died, was buried. It rose on the third day. This flesh ascended, this carcass ascended ranks of angels to sit at the Father's right hand. This carcass is now in glory, which will come again. as quick and omnipresent as a flash of lightning. He will come again to shorten the days so that you, the elect, may be saved. We pray to our Lord for mercy in the collect, mercy when the judgment comes. We confess our merits and works are evil and they are nothing, but they are something to flee from. We finished our collect asking for mercy so that we may not be dealt with after the severity of your judgment in the end times, but that so we may be dealt with according to your mercy. Really, it should say according to your pardon. Deal with us according to your forgiveness. And so once again, the message today is yes, wake up. Yes, flee. But our Lord says, flee to me. Flee to me who is your rock, who is your mountain, your fortress. And in me, you will always be awake. In me, when the judgment falls out there, you will be protected in me. Wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will gather. As if our Lord said, listen to my word and wake up. Flee from evil and repent. Flee to me. Remain in my church, which is my body. Love each other and gather together at my altar. That's his message today. For as we gather around his flesh and blood, so will he in his mercy gather us together around him in that sudden moment of his second advent. Amen. Now may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.